You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to the League of Ireland's favourite podcast. It's of course Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and that's not just a catchphrase, folks. Last week, the highest ranked League of Ireland podcast on the iTunes charts, as high as 17th in the sports categories. John, great achievement.
Oh, fantastic, Kieran. I think you have to go back to some of the specials that we did, to end of season special and maybe one or two of the European preview weeks for rankings like that. So, absolutely delighted. And on behalf of myself and Kieran, thanks ever so much.
Yeah, and of course, you'll hear during the show how you can subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And that's always a huge help to promoting the show, and of course, in turn, promoting the League of Ireland. But some huge guests again on the show tonight, John. It's a manager special. Do you want to take us through our lineup?
Well, we've got Longford Town's manager, Neil Fenn, for a start. So,
of course we have.
6 points at the weekend. We're all very happy. So that should be a nice... a pleasant one. We'll also be talking to Stephen Henderson.
Great friend of the podcast.
Yeah, he's been on a few times before. So
great upturn in form there since he threatened to walk away. But great to see Cove playing a bit more competitive than they were at the start of the year.
Yeah, indeed. And the one I'm looking forward to, Tommy Barrett, we've got on. All sorts of controversy on and off the fields at Limerick. So that's going to be a cracker. Stay tuned for that, folks.
Yeah, very good of Tommy to join us despite everything that's going on down there. And looking forward to airing that interview for you all later on, folks. Just to start the show off, we were due to be joined by the Galway United manager, Shane Keegan, but he made contact with us earlier today. He said he doesn't feel that this is the right time to come on the show. A couple of really bad results in recent days for Galway in the First Division. Of course, there was a doubleheader of First Division fixtures on Friday and the bank holiday Monday. Galway, who were the pre-season favourites for the title, according to the bookmakers, now find themselves outside of the playoff positions. And they've been very underwhelming so far this season, John. So that's where we're going to start our discussion tonight. Shane Keegan, is he a man under pressure?
Well, he's got to be. 1 point from six at the weekend there, Kieran. Now, the First Division set up, so teams like Galway should really be in at least a playoff position. But they're just not there this season. And, you know, you talked to the Facebook Live there about fitness of some of the players. Mm. We're going back to that again. And, you know, if you're good enough to be in a playing League of Ireland, surely you should have the fitness to match.
Yeah, I'm glad you've brought this up again, John, because I was reading a piece by the Limerick-based journalist online, Alan O'Brien, and he was stating that none of the media or journalists or pundits, whatever you want to call them in this league, have spoken about players that have large waistlines to see. But if we go back to as far as the third show of the season here, I remember Longford had played Wexford, and you were highly critical of a number of Wexford players. Mm-hmm. So we're bringing it up again. I know we got a bit of stick for it at the time, but look, as you said, these players have been paid to go out and play professional, semi-professional, maybe either one or the other. You should at least go out and look like a footballer. And in a couple of those Galway players, they look like they've just staggered out of the kebab shop. In all honesty.
Yeah, I know. I think I did that the weekend. But on another note, you're absolutely right, Kieran. And I think a lot of his signings have let him down. Now, it doesn't help that Furlong's been injured, Kieran.
No, we have to give him that by blow. If you go back to the start of the season, Furlong was banging them in for fun.
He was.
And the results were coming with that. Mm. He got an injury. He's played through a few games through the injury barrier and has clearly affected his performances. The goals have dried up, so he's been totally out of the team in recent weeks. And with that, the results have plummeted.
Connolly doesn't look the same player to me as when I saw him at Longford.
He's one of the players I would question fitness over. I seen him earlier in the season when Longford played up there, and I know a couple of Longford fans were very surprised to see the condition he was in. They remember him when he was on loan in 2013 at Longford as being a real workhorse in midfield, and young A. Durbin for Longford ran rings around him that night. And it was the same the other night out in the City Connolly Stadium. He just looked so leggy, so slow, so no bite in his play. Really, really surprising, John.
You know, I just think they're way underperforming. He's under big pressure here.
I think the tactics, John, have been really, really poor in recent weeks. I know we had the debate last week on the show whether Neil Fenn would start with Mulhall or Byrne, and then Mulhall turned out to be suspended, so he had to go with Byrne. And Byrne really ran at their back three. It was a back three that Galway played with, and none of their back three, Robbie Williams and Stephen Walsh, been two of those players. And Robbie Williams, again, would be the main one I'd point fingers at in terms of fitness in that team. And Stephen Walsh was a player last year that couldn't get in the Longford team. they didn't look comfortable on the ball, and that really, really worked out for Byrne, who was able to press,
yeah,
force mistakes, get a couple of goals from that. And again, they're sticking with this back three, and it's just not working.
No, I think against a pacey front line like Longford have, you know, McGlade, Byrne, they scared them to death, you know. Yeah. A lot of clubs are going to be looking at that.
That's where one of the goals came from. McGlade gets in behind, leaves Williams for dead, and it's a goal. And with balls, every team in the division is going to be seeing the goals like that. They're online, the highlights are there to be seen. Just get a ball in behind Williams, get a ball in behind Walsh, you're going to score a goal.
Yeah, Keegan really needs to sort it out. Sort the fitness of the players out, get them a bit more switched on, quicker reacting, or else, you know, you're looking at it and can you see an improvement?
You'd imagine that is one of the highest budgets in the division. I know there's no one that's free spending like a Waterford or a Limerick have in recent years, but Galway are certainly right up there in terms of their budget. So if I'm the board of the directors there, I'm thinking, does this man deserve a shot at the transfer window now?
I think there is one thing. We talked about Furlong being out, and it's very, very difficult. You take your top goal scorer out of your team, as you know well,
yeah,
and it's very, very difficult to just slot somebody else in and have the same impact.
And we've spoke about all the teams, not just in the first division but in the Premier, searching for that 20 goal striker.
Yeah.
Galway have one, they just can't keep him fit, unfortunately, and that's really hitting their results. But as we said, the money they've spent, should they be relying on one man, John?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a great player, isn't he?
Yeah, fantastic.
When he's fit, but that is the issue, and I'm sure he's gutted that he's been out injured so long, because he brings so much to the team. You're going to miss a player like that, but they have to have a plan B.
And I know the huge criticism of Shane Keegan is the fact that he had such a talented Galway side last year, couldn't keep them up. We spoke about it towards the tail end of last year about how naive they were in their play, couldn't seem to just play a little bit more defensive instead of this gung-ho every week like they were. Look, they were great to watch, but that was no good in the end. They went down. The club suffered as a result of that. And you're just wondering now if Shane Keegan's the man to steady the ship, because for me, it's defensively that they're having the major issues on this side.
Yeah, and wholesale changes. You know, they were forced to, players left. And you can't blame the players, because they want to carry on playing at Premier Division level. That's fair enough. But it did leave a huge hole in that Galway side, which is taped over in places. But starting to show now a little.
Yeah, so a final word on Shane Keegan, John. Do you think he's the man to turn it around at Galway? We're talking about them as if they're in a relegation battle here or something. They're only a couple of points off the top still. It's just that type of season where a few results either way and you're having a conversation about a manager being under pressure or a manager flying.
I think you've hit the nail on the head, because you're dead right. I mean, I was saying a week or two ago, was Neil Fenn under pressure? And, you know, he changed the front man out of necessity rather than anything else, but it's made a big difference. Massive match for Galway this weekend.
Huge.
Finn Harps, another man under pressure, Ollie Hogan.
Yeah,
so
we'll move on to Ollie now in a second.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's going to be a really important one this weekend.
Yeah, before we speak about Ollie Hogan's situation, we'll run through the results from the First Division at the weekend. So we'll start at the City Colin Stadium, where Longford were 3-2 winners over Galway. An absolute thriller, John.
Yeah, cracking match this one. Longford seemed to be cruising, 2-0 up, Aid Dervin and Sam Verdon with the goals, but then a completely ridiculous red card for Darren Meenan, and over the top on a challenge.
Yeah,
deserved red for me.
Deserved red, and I spoke to Neil Fenn after the game for local media, and he said he would be having words with Darren about that incident, because it just was so silly, John. 2-0 up, only seconds to go till the halftime whistle.
I'm absolutely cruising.
And it wasn't even that type of game where there was challenges flying in, that he had taken a late hit and he wanted to get a little bit of revenge. There was absolutely nothing happening. Longford were cruising in this game, and he just lunges in with a 2-foot tackle, but it didn't surprise me. I've been saying to you all season, he's a red card waiting to happen, and there it was.
Yeah, well, that led Galway back into the match. Conor Barry with the pull one back, and an own goal for Robbie Williams, who we were talking about before, made it 3-1 and gave Longford that little bit of comfort.
You've forgotten the missed penalty at 2-1.
Oh, yeah,
then
for
Galway, absolutely disgraceful decision from the referee. Connolly goes up for a header between Daniel O'Reilly and Mick McDonald, the two big tall Longford centre backs. And he misses the ball, falls
nothing
over inside the box. Nothing in it.
It
was a free out of ending. He was climbing on the two centre halves, and the ref gives a penalty. And up steps Alan Murphy, Galway's all-time leading goal scorer. You would have put your house on him scoring it, and he blazes it into orbit. And as you mentioned, then Longford go and get a third, but it still wasn't over at that.
No, Stephen Walsh pulled one back to leave a very nervy last few minutes for Longford. But they held on with the 10 men to win 3-2, and a really important result.
Yeah, it was the first time Longford had beaten a team above them in the table all season, and after having a run of home games where they'd gone without a win, it was a really important win, and it carried on to the game at Donegal on Monday. But we'll move on to our next game, John. And of course, that was Shelburne, a comfortable 4-1 win over Wexford.
Yeah, a really good result this for Shelburne. They're really starting to tick now, aren't they, up there? And Prendergast with 2 goals. Shane Farrell in an own goal were the scorers for Shells. Wexford with the consolation from Dean Kelly. So
yeah, Davey O'Sullivan hasn't been on the scorer sheets in a couple of weeks, but Shells have been still ranking up the goals. They got 3 in their last one, 4 in this, so 7 in the last 2. And that's really good to see from a Shells perspective.
Yeah, they're going well. I know they dropped a couple of points against Drogheda, but Drogheda playing well this season. Come on to that in a bit. But yeah, they're going well, aren't they? There's still a great chance of winning that league.
Yeah, they were your tip from the start, so we'll certainly keep an eye on them in the coming weeks before the break. Up to Ballybuffet then, it was a comfortable 4-0 win for Harps, I should say, against Athlone. Yeah. And from speaking to Harps fans, it could have been 10.
Well, look, they did exactly what Longford didn't do against Athlone a couple of weeks ago, and they won 4-0. Jesse Devers, Kieran O'Connor, Michael Place, who seems to be scoring a few at the moment.
He's a new signing in there, yeah.
And now McGinley with the goals there for Harps, giving Ollie a bit of respite. Drogheda dispatched Cabin Teely 2-0. They're going really well at the moment, Karen.
They're the one to watch at the moment, John. They're really starting to creep up there, and that's going to be a huge game now when they face UCD at the weekend.
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting matches for Drogheda coming up.
Tasty games coming up in the First Division.
Yeah, Chris Lyons, Mark Doyle with the goals there for Drogheda. And to finish the matches there, UCD comfortable 3-1 over Cove. Man, Georgie Kelly scoring again. Kevin Coffey and Liam Scales, the consolation, Anthony McGlinton.
Yeah, that brings Georgie Kelly up to joint top scorer in the First Division alongside that man we've mentioned, Davey O'Sullivan. UCD have been a little bit inconsistent in the league, but we always see that this time of year with exams for the students. So great to get a home win over Cove there. It would have been a more difficult game, I think, if they had to go down to St. Coleman. So maybe a little bit lucky in that respect. But going into the break, as we mentioned, this game against Drogheda could decide so much. It's probably going to decide who sits on top at the halfway stage. But before we go any further, folks, we're going to bring you our first interview of the night now. It's, of course, our great friend of the podcast and the charismatic Cove Ramblers manager, Stephen Henderson. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by our good friend here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's, of course, the Cove Ramblers manager, Stephen Henderson. Stephen, you're welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kieran. How are you, John?
All good, thank you, Stephen. Good to have you on again.
Love being here, my man.
So, Stephen, I suppose we have to start with your recent U-turn. You looked to be set to leave the club after a successful couple of years. You then changed your mind after a meeting with the club, and since then there's been a revival in form. So if you just maybe want to talk us through that and the stages of that decision.
Difficult few weeks for us, Kieran, and I suppose it accumulated. At the start of the season, we played 11 games, 9 of which were away. So that was a huge kind of resource on us, that very taxing resource on us. But although we knew that was coming, I didn't see how we would compensate for it. So, it just all got very stressful. The whole team became very stressful in terms of the finance of the club. How far are we going? Where are we going with this? I just didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Because we're in the process of putting a 5-year strategy together to present to the FAI. And it just didn't feel like we could put a 5-month one together. I don't know if that makes sense. Mm. The football aspect of it was being affected because I was letting it stress me out, and I have to say straight, I never wanted to resign. It wasn't something that I had thought deeply about. I don't know. It was just stuff got on top of me, and that's the truth, Kieran. And I just felt very strained, as with my wife, I suppose, because my wife's a treasurer. She does an awful lot of unbelievable work there and trying to keep creditors happy and take some abusive phone calls. I do hear them myself, So the whole thing became very stressful, I suppose. It's just I need a break from this.
And but, have you been happy with the club's reaction since then? I know it was only a mite. I know a lot of media outlets hopped on the whole kit man thing. That was never the issue, clearly. But have you got a kit man since then? And the other issues you raised in that meeting, have you seen at least progress in trying to fix those issues?
Yeah, 100%, because we had a meeting, and, you know, like the kit man thing, that, you know, first of all, I can't stress enough, Ciarán, how important these people are, how important these volunteers are to football clubs that are prepared to put their time into the football club. You really see how important they are when they're not there. In terms of the kit being laid out is a professional aspect of the game. So it was really good that we didn't have one. But thankfully, the lad Ian Ryan, you know, throughout, has come in, and he's absolutely meticulous. And you can, and it's a small thing, but I suppose any manager will tell you it's a big thing when players walk into a dressing room and it's laid out properly for them. But clearly, no, that wasn't the main issue. It was just a flippant remark that people decided to dive on and have a bit of crack with. But fair play to them, away they go. But yeah, that's been sorted, thank God. And other aspects have been sorted in terms of how we're going to generate the funds to get us through to the season. There's a lot of good stuff coming up, Ciarán. It's allowed us to really start refocusing on the football, which I hadn't been. Thank God for Stuart and Decky and Shane and Barr there, because you know, you get caught up and sidetracked from it. But now we're all working together as one off the pitch. It's getting we're coming on lovely on the pitch, as you say. We're out there turning it around a little bit. So you know, we had a hiccup there against Shells, but our last two games against UCD and Galway on the pitch, we've been fantastic, and we should have got more than we did out of both games.
Yeah, I think we for one are delighted that you stayed in position. I know, you know, personal experience with, and many people relate to it with jobs, and you're doing extra hours and things like that, and it never seems like you're going to turn things around. But it's great that you're getting the assistance there, and you know, hopefully results start improving on the field. So, speaking about, let's go to on the field matters, Stephen. And yeah, as you say, things looking good. Playoffs still alive, do you think?
Well, they're not dead. You know, you certainly wouldn't throw your hat at it. What I have noticed over the last UCD, about us 3-1 on Friday night, and we were exceptional in the game. I think we've hit the post twice, we've hit the crossbar twice. We've had two goals disallowed, and our goalkeeper got man of the match. So that would give you an indication of how we were going one way. But the three goals we conceded were really disappointing. Two set pieces and a speculative shot from 40 odd yards that we didn't react well to. So that was disappointing. But the overall way we played was exceptional. And it gives you hope for the coming weeks. The other night, again, Galway on Monday night, I thought we were exceptional again. We done our job really well. Again, we missed an absolute sitter at the last kick of the ball from a corner kick to take the 3 points. But we didn't. But what we have shown, John and Ciarán, is that we're competitive, and we'll give all the really good teams a good game. Even Longford, they beat us 1-0. I thought they were fortunate to beat us 1-0 on the day, to be honest with you. Obviously, we got some form of payback when we got them in the cup. But, you know, I think what we've done is we went out and we played all the big teams now. There's not much difference between us, and if I can do well in July, you know, I think that could kick us on, and then the playoffs would definitely be something that we haven't given up on.
Yeah, one of the things I wonder about is player recruitment. It must be very difficult down there in Cove, obviously just purely down to the geographical side of things. So how difficult is it to recruit players for Cove down there, Stephen?
Well, it is. Well, obviously we're right down the end of the country. What I like about League of Ireland and League of Ireland footballers, like, you have lads who are prepared to travel from Kilkenny or Waterford or Limerick or such places, or Carlow, because they're a different breed. Basically, they live the lifestyle of a footballer and they want to play. But you know, within the Cork region itself, it's very difficult. Obviously, Cork City, most of them want to play for Cork City, and that's fair enough. But through our process, I think about 85% of our team, John, has come through our youth setup now. Nearly the majority of the players playing for us now have come through our 17s and 19s setup, and that's a hugely important avenue for us. What I've done now is I spoke to Frank Kelleher. Frank Kelleher is coming in now as our academy manager, because we want to put the process in. We want to put a proper scouting network in around the Munster region, to feed through all the teams and especially feed into our senior team, and that's where we hope that at some stage where we're going to start getting our players from and not having to go too far outside Cork. But in general, it's hard to do. Some very good players in the Munster Senior League, Hopefully I'll be able to get two or three of them in the window. One or two of them will hopefully have the bit of experience that we're just lacking at this moment in time. And unfortunately, Keane Leonard was really starting to come into form for us in centre-forward, but unfortunately he picked up a very nasty injury against UCD on Friday night. So just leaves Andy Wall and young Jace Caboya, who's going to be a fine talent, but still very young. So centre-forward is an area that obviously we're going to have to try and sort out come July. And see where it takes us.
Like every other manager, you're looking for that 20-goal striker out there.
They're hard to find, John. Do you know what I mean? They're very hard to find. It's all right. Like, managers, we can all get stick. Yeah, you need a centre-forward. We know we need centre-forwards. We know that. Do you know what I mean? You need a good centre-forward. Yeah, I know we need a good centre-forward. But have we got the money to get this good? No. Okay, so we have to look at players with potential. And then, obviously, with clubs like ourselves, that when we do find a centre-forward, what's going to happen there? He's gone, isn't he? Yeah, so, you know, it's a constant process. It's a difficult process. But, I hope to have a lad signed by July. He's a lad, I think, very talented, big lad. I won't say his name. But he's a big lad. He's very quick, very strong. And hopefully he can come in and take the league by storm. And hopefully he can push the other lads on. And if we do that, just going back to what you were saying, John, you know, I think we'd have a rattle off the playoffs, rather making it very difficult for ourselves. That's without a shadow. But you know, we're still not over. It's, you know, this league is really, really competitive. Teams are taking points off each other all the time. There's no one team that is significantly better than the rest. They all have areas of weakness that we can exploit. You know what I mean? But they all have positive traits as well. So it's a very interesting league. And I think history will show that, you know, during these playoffs and these, there's always a team comes out of nowhere that you do be surprised at. And I'm kind of hoping that's us this year.
A tall, big centre forward. It sounds like John Breyer is signing for Cove Ramblers.
Kieran, I'm 5'9". I don't know where you got tall from. That's one thing I've never been accused of being.
Stephen, sarcasm was palpable there.
In terms of other ridiculous transfer rumours, I've seen you having a little pop at the League of Ireland transfers page last night. They were linking our goalkeeper, Jack Brady, with a move. Can you totally refute that?
Yeah, come here. They're good lads. You can never knock people who try to promote our league, and that's the truth, Kieran. Do you know what I mean? Anybody who promotes our league I'm a fan of, and that's the truth. Mm. Jack Brady is a very, very good goalkeeper. It just shows how well the other lad is doing, that Jack can't get a game. Do you know what I mean? But no, I went in there because I have three lads working with me who are very, very good goalkeepers and who work very hard. And I just literally seen it, and you know, I just don't think that's fair on my three lads to be thinking that I'm going looking for a goalkeeper when I'm not. So I just advised them that it wasn't the truth. I'm actually not sure you believe me.
What I heard was that Jack doesn't want the sign. He said the Stephen Henders clobber is the worst in the league.
Well, I don't normally get insulted by that, but when people like Jack say that to me, and I see some of the absolute horrendous stuff he's wearing, that's when I get a little bit upset. You know what I mean? But Jacko's a great lad, he's a great goalkeeper, and he's a big future.
Stephen, finally, important game now on Saturday at home to Wexford. Obviously, as we've spoken about, building momentum before the break is so important, as you're saying there, to keep this playoff dream alive. It's games like this you can't afford to be dropping points in.
No, but it's not just Wexford, is it, Kieran? It's everyone. Every game is usually... We always have a good game off Wexford. When we won the league, we had a really tough time against Wexford. When we're not winning the league, they're a good, well-organised side. Damien Locke's a great lad. He's done really well with them with very limited resources. We all know what that's like. So it's going to be a tough game. But absolutely, Kieran, we're at home. Do you know what I mean? They are games that we should be... If we had any aspirations of getting ourselves into the top four, with all due respect to Wexford, this is a team that we should be beating. But that's not how football works. If our attitude is wrong, Wexford will do us. It's as simple as that. If our attitude is wrong, Athlone will do us. It's as simple as that. So the attitude of my boys for the last two or three weeks have been fantastic. If they continue that and prepare well and stay focused and continue the improvements they've been making, well, then we have a great chance at the 3 points. But you're absolutely right. It's important for our playoff aspirations that we go on with our next two home games. Whether that's Wexford or Drogheda, it doesn't matter. For two home games, we have to take advantage of it.
And just in terms of the home games, have the attendances picked up much in Cove? I know I wrote a piece recently that criticised the lack of coverage in this first division season. You're speaking there, and we're saying it here on the show every week about every game being a big game because it's so competitive. Yet there just seems to be a real lack of coverage in the media, particularly. I was watching Soccer Republic Monday. They didn't even put the scores up, John. So,
not a word.
No. So are you seeing an effect of that in terms of low attendances? Because some of the games in the first division, while the standard may not be as high as the Premier, the excitement levels have been through the roof this season.
Well, to be honest with you, we played Galway here on Monday, and it was a nil all, but it was probably the best nil all I've seen all season. It was a great game of ball. Do you know what I mean? There was chances on both ends. It was really exciting. We had about 350 people in the mount, and they responded to it. They enjoyed the game. You know what I mean? That was a bank holiday Monday. Our attendances haven't been what they have been in the past. We've also moved, from 7:15 to 7:45 kickoff. I'm not sure that was the best thing to do, to be honest with you, Kieran. I think people enjoyed coming to the match that little bit earlier. It gave them an option: do they want to go to the pub or not after the game and what have you. Kind of incorporated better into their social evening, I suppose. But there is a big lack of exposure for the first division, which is a bit unfortunate because there's been some amount of fantastic games in it. There's a lot of goals been scored in it. You have no idea who's going to win this league. You have no idea who's going to finish in this top four. There's loads to write about it, and that's like just going back to what we were saying about your man with Jack Brady. Like, this is why you have to embrace these people. Anybody who gives us any kind of exposure or promotes us in any way, I'd have the utmost respect for. But we're just not getting enough at the moment. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit more. But still, I suppose, Kieran, it's on us, isn't it? It's on us as managers and players to get people in the ground by playing well. It's on us as clubs as well that when we do get people into the ground, that we give them a good experience, good match day experience, make the whole thing enjoyable, not just the match. So we can point to certain elements why they're not coming, but then it has to be for us then when people do come in the ground, we have to make it such an enjoyable experience that they want to come back again. So not everything is on the media. Sometimes us as clubs, we have to take on that responsibility that when people come in the gate, we have a responsibility to get them back and not just be there to take that money.
Well, I have to say, as an away fan that goes to St. Coleman's Park, you certainly can't criticise Cove Ramblers. The last time we went down there as Longford fans, pizza and chips, put on 5 or 6 pizza and chips for the fans, discounts in the bar. It was just fantastic. Lovely people down there, the stewards so welcoming, just a great club to be around, and obviously we'd love to see more home fans turning out. But Stephen, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you very much for joining us as ever, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Kieran, thanks a million. John, thanks a million.
Cheers, Stephen.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Well, John, as ever, Stephen Henson, just a breath of fresh air for the League of Ireland and for this podcast.
Yeah, he's been great to us, and love talking to the fella. He talks such sense, doesn't he? And he's clearly so passionate about not just Cove itself, but the league in general. And
yeah, great to see people like that involved in the league.
And I'm genuinely delighted that he changed his mind on resigning from the league, because the league would have been a worse place without him.
Yeah, look, we don't know whether Cove are going to progress from the great success they've had in the last couple of years, but one thing's for sure, that won't be the last we've heard of Stephen Henderson. Big things to come from him as a manager in the future. John, moving on, the bank holiday fixtures, it was a 1-1 draw in the big one between Shelburne and Drogheda at Tolka Park.
Yeah, top of the table this one. And a late equaliser for Drogheda in this one. Shells, we thought, had it wrapped up, 1-0 up. Dale Rooney, Alan Byrne, red card, and then last minute, Sean Brennan with a penalty.
Yeah, that's becoming an issue for Shells. They gave away a late one at Tolka against UCD as well, so that's damaging points in terms of a title race. But Sean Brennan is really chipping in. I think that's his 7th goal of the season, which puts him joint third in the scoring charts.
Shells would have been right up there if they'd have held on to that one, Kieran, and... I'm sure they were cursing that one in the end. Cabin Teeler dispatched Athlone 4-0. Luke Clucas amongst the goals again with 2, Kieran.
Yeah, just as we're talking about Athlone in recent weeks, starting to tighten up, they've let 8 in their last 2, so that's all gone out the window again. But Clucas starting to chip in, and Marty Waters back on the score sheet, which is ominous ahead of the Longford game this weekend.
Yeah, he's class is permanent, isn't that what they say?
That's the truth.
Cove nil, Galway nil, stalemate, but it sounded a very good match from what Stephen Anderson was saying.
Yeah, and before the game I had predicted a draw on this one. Just Cove always a hard place to go, the pitch isn't great at times down there, but just I was so disappointed with Galway's performance against Longford. They were absolutely dire in the first half, only for the red card. I think, in all honesty, without any bias at all, I think Longford would have blown them away by 3 or 4 goals. So again, as we said, Shane Keegan under huge pressure, but we've spoken about that enough. A good point for Cove keeps them in touch with the playoff places, and if they can get that win against Wexford now on Saturday and another one before the break, they'll be right up there. But let's move on to the next man that's under pressure, John. Ollie Horgan, a 2-4 defeat at home to Longford Town in a cracking game as well.
Absolute cracking game, and some great performances from some of the Longford players. Aid Durbin again, excellent in midfield.
What a goal.
Yes, indeed, a lovely strike. Dylan McGlade chipped in with two, and Sam Verdon as well with a goal. They all seem to be getting the sight for goals. Perhaps we're caught with a penalty, and Michael Place with a goal. But yeah, big pressure on Ollie Horgan. He clearly was incensed with some of the decisions. I can't see why. Well, there was a red card in that match, Kieran, and I have to say, having looked back at the video, it was clear simulation from Chris Mulhall. Yeah. And I'm not afraid to call out my own team's players, but that was blatant gamesmanship, and he's every right to be cross about that one.
Yeah, well, the game was actually over, the full-time whistle had gone, and there just seemed to be a bit of a heated exchange between the Hearts player and Mulhall, and there was clearly no contact, but he did throw the head forward, so he left himself open to it. But it's not actually the first time I've seen Mulhall get involved in something silly like that this season, so you are right, John, to criticise him on that. But in the game itself, the referee was very poor, didn't get the yellow cards out at all despite persistent fouling from the Finn Hearts players, and that's the point I want to raise with you now, John. I feel for this Hearts team, they have enough quality to go out, and we've seen when they got to 2-2 in this game, they were playing really good football.
Yeah.
If Ollie Horgan was to concentrate less on the opposition and stopping them and actually concentrate on the talent within his own team, I think this Harps team would be a lot higher in the table. They'd be scoring a lot more goals. But there's just such a negative approach. We couldn't believe the absolute dead atmosphere. There wasn't a pin drop the whole evening. Even when they scored the 2 goals, it was totally flat.
Yeah.
And that's because of this rubbish football they've been served up. And the Finn Harps supporters deserve better than that. I think they're right to criticise Ollie Horgan. And as I was walking over to the dugout after the game to do a couple of interviews for the local media, there was a couple of Harps fans on the way out, and they were really getting stuck into their players and Ollie Horgan, and I'd have to totally agree with it. It was a very, very poor performance, and it's been a very poor season from Harps so far.
Yeah, disappointing. They're a physical side. You have to say that. That's the way they're obviously set up to play. I think they did.
But I can think of a lot of teams in this division that you could accuse have been physical. But
yeah.
They do it at the right times. They're not cynical. A lot of the fouls from Harps at the weekend, if the referee had done his job and got the cards out, they could have been down another man, because there was just so much persistent fouling in needless positions. It was just been over physical, trying to counteract the Longford attack the whole time by just breaking it up and stopping it. Whereas if they just got the ball down on what was a really, really, really good surface, the Finn Harps pitch, fair play to the grounds up there, it looks to be one of the best I've seen this season. But as I said, if they just were to concentrate on their own game more than kicking the opponents, in all honesty. And the only tactics I could see coming from Ollie during the game was shouting and roaring over the dugout. He didn't seem to be offering any precise information. It was just constantly trying to G up his players. And it's no wonder that they're flying in with tackles, because they're probably terrified to go into that dressing room at full time.
Yeah, and it's a shame, because they have some, you know, they have good players in that side. The Connor brothers, and, you know, they've probably got one of the best playmakers in the league under McCourt.
McCourt was fantastic on the night. He had nothing ahead of him.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, let's just get this. Ollie Horgan, he just rants and raves.
Rants and raves, yeah.
And I actually thought he was going to have a heart attack at one stage on that match. You know, he just needs to calm it down and play to their strengths. They don't have to play the way they're playing. They're a good enough team with a good enough players in it. But, I just think it's almost becoming a caricature, isn't he, Horgan? Horgan at the moment.
He's got a bit over the top at times.
Over the top. And like I say, I'm quite happy to call out my own players, Longford's players at the time, but... he really needs to just settle down, does Horgan, and concentrate on his own team and performances. Because, I mean, they walloped Athlone the week before. But
just similar to Longford, they dropped points against Athlone this season as well in a game that... any time I speak to the Hearts fans, they're saying, oh, it was a dire game even though we won. It was a dire game even though we won. And that's why you're seeing such a low attendances and such a dead atmosphere at the ground.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there are playoffs there, but for teams that are sort of just like slipping or on the border, then managers are coming under the pressure because... Yeah. You know, there is the 10 teams in the league, And I think everybody expects to be in either the top position or the playoff positions. And certainly Finn Harps, relegated last season, they would expect it to be a lot higher than they currently are.
I just think in this league, a lot of the time, you can accept results not going your way. But when clubs see fans are starting to just totally lose interest, that the atmosphere on the ground is starting to become a little bit, you know, almost against the team at times, I think that's when decisions have to be made. And obviously, it might be a bit early to say that yet, but if Harps were to get some very negative results in their final two games before the break, I think the club there has a big decision to make.
You were saying it was coming under pressure as well, online as well as from fans and things. That's never a good sign for managers. So,
I think we've said enough on that one. But we'll move on now, John, to the Premier Division. That's been an excellent roundup of the First Division coverage, and we will have, obviously, the First Division previews for you shortly. But in terms of the Premier Division, we'll start at the Markets Field. That was all the talk before the game of this wage situation, but we'll speak about that later as we have Limerick manager Tommy Barrett on the show. A 1-1 draw against Bowes.
Yeah, and Limerick started well despite the news before the match about the financial situation there. But one fella that was good, you know, he was the centre of everything good from Bowes was Dylan Watts. He looks like he's going to be an absolute quality player.
I just wonder if he'd stay there past the summer, whether Leicester will just have had someone watching him. But then again, these Premiership clubs, did they really pay that much attention to him when they send their players out on loan? You have to wonder. But either way, if Bowes can keep a hold of him till the end of the season, he's going to be a great asset for them.
Yeah, but for Clark, I think Watts could have had a hat trick. He made some good saves.
Clark was superb.
Yeah, and he's a good goalkeeper. He's one that you look at, and you know, he's one of the real quality players in that side.
I just wonder if Pats, maybe his former club, are going to have a wee look there, because Murphy has been a little bit inconsistent in recent weeks after a very good start to the season, and their backup goalkeeper doesn't seem to be cutting it. So Clark could come in there and really challenge Murphy for a starting position.
It's possible, and especially if these players are available on free transfers. We're not fully confirmed with that, are we, Kieran?
Not sure if that's the case, but as you said there, it's a worrying situation. So for the Limerick players to go out and put the performance they did in, it was a credit to Tommy Barrett and his team.
Yeah, Barry Maguire opening the score, and he made it 1-0. Substitute Carlo Sullivan, I haven't seen too much of him, but he made an excellent run and drew a super save from Shane Supple.
He's one Limerick fans are speaking very, very highly of. That run was absolutely superb, John.
Yeah, he looks a talent, you know. There's going to be vultures sniffing around if the rumours are true about the situation there. But look, it was a Dylan Watts pass where the equaliser came for Bowes. Dan Byrne with the equaliser. And like I said, Dylan Watts, he was at the centre of everything that Bowes did. He was very, very good. They've got some great playmakers there.
But it was Limerick that took the lead.
Yeah, indeed. Like I said, they'll be a little bit disappointed they didn't get the 3 points in that.
Yeah, it's the second time now they've let it slip against Bowes late on, so that's frustrating. And usually a 1-1 draw against Bowes would be considered a good result, but throw in the financial situation alongside the fact that Bray, the team below them, won. We'll speak about that shortly. And the fact that Sligo picked up a surprise victory against Derry, then it wasn't the best night, in all honesty, for Limerick Football Club.
No, it wasn't. We'll move on and we'll massive result here. Shamrock Rovers 2, Dundalk 5. Wow.
Rovers started this game like a house on fire, John. It was probably the best 20 minutes they had of the season. And I don't know if I'm the only one that maybe thought this, but after that Roberto Lopez tackle, which was absolutely disgusting, cowardly, it was thuggish, John. He should have seen red. The referee should be ashamed of himself, as should Lopez. It was a disgusting tackle. Mm-hmm. And McGrath, very lucky not to suffer a broken leg. I actually felt after that the Rovers game started to become very disjointed, whereas before that they were totally all over Dundalk. I'm not sure why there was just that sudden... The players just seemed to stop. The flow just stopped for Rovers. They were fantastic for those first 20 minutes. But in the second half, it was men against boys, as Alan Cawley said on Soccer Republic, and Dundalk really hit top gear.
Yeah, so as you said, Rovers started well, and a bit of a defensive mix-up in Dundalk. That led to Daniel Caron to open the scoring. And he could have made it 2-0, but Rodgers made a good save from him from a header.
Yeah, he was unlucky with the first one as well, Rodgers. He's stopped Gartner turning it into his own net. Good reaction, but Carr's there to tap it in. Carr's unlucky not to have another one, but Rodgers makes a great save, and then Carr goes off injured, and that was a big turning point in the game, as was Finn going off at half time.
Yeah, and that left a few holes for Dundalk to exploit. But one man who's on absolute fire at the moment is Michael Duffy, and it was his jinking run and lovely looped cross to Hoban who equalised to make it 1-1. He's really playing well. Yeah. Duffy's he looks to be the standout player at the moment in this league. So 1-1 at half time, all to play for, but Rovers, you've got to question them again. They left Duffy in so much space a number of times, and they were allowing him to run at the defences, you know. And Chinchinski saved an effort early on, but Daniel Cleary made it two when he headed in across from Robbie Benson.
Super header from Cleary, and let's have a little chat about his conversation, John. He seemed to make a point to Stephen Bradley, a man who allegedly rejected him in pre-season, the chance to sign him. And since then, Cleary's even gone up and set up a Twitter account, and he put the very first tweet was the photo of a celebration in front of Stephen Bradley, and I think the quote was, "Doubt me now." So...
wow.
I know there was a couple of Rovers fans, including Con Murphy, who felt that it was very poor form from Cleary and particularly from Dundalk to tweet that photo, but I don't think so. I think it's just something you see in football, and it's actually great to see such passion and the player really wanting to prove a point, but poor marking from Rovers.
Yeah, he definitely had a point to prove, didn't he? You know, and he was delighted with the goal, and he celebrated it well, shall we say.
It's the one of a long list of mistakes by Stephen Bradley. I mean, Cleary has been one of the best defenders in the league this season. We're looking then at Simon Madden let go and Ethan Boyle coming in, and Boyle's been exposed by far worse players than Duffy this season, but Duffy really did just show his weaknesses. He absolutely ran rings around him, John.
Kieran, I'm going to have to come back. You've said the word mistakes, and I'm going to have to come back to goalkeepers for the third goal, and a Dane Massey shot straight through Chinchinski should have saved it.
Yeah, thankfully for Rovers, only two more games before the break, and Alan Manis will be back in there, because Chinchinski, just surely you have to wonder if they're going to let him go in the summer, because he's just not putting it in at all.
Kieran, I just feel like a broken record with Rovers. Yeah. Bradley, Chinchinski, goalkeepers. Look, how he's not seeing it, I don't know. I know he's signed a keeper to replace him, but good grief, at this stage, that it's just every week, isn't it? The same mistakes. He sets the same team out. They have the same issues. And, you know, it's a definition of stupidity. They've now lost the same things and expecting anything to change.
They've now lost more games than they've won. I really don't know how he's still in a job, John.
They pulled one back. Kustrain shot at the bar, and Lopez followed up 3-2.
But shouldn't have been on the pitch, as we mentioned.
No, he shouldn't have been on the pitch. But, you know, we talked about the defence. Lee Grace gave the ball away. Robbie Benson profited of that 4-2, and
that was only seconds after Rovers had got back into the game as well. That was a really poor mistake from Grace. He's a ball playing centre half, but he is one of those ball playing centre halves that can be caught out quite badly, and when it goes wrong, it goes very, very wrong.
The route was complete at the end, where Dorjan slid in Benson to make it 5-2, and yeah, like I say, a route.
Yeah, Dorjan's one that's, when he's come in the last couple of weeks off the bench, he's done really, really well. He's a good physical player in midfield, looks after the ball well, and that Dundalk side really starting to click now.
Moving on to Derry against Sligo, two out of form teams, but a real shock result here, Kieran.
Yeah, we've spoke about Sligo and toothless all season, but the goals finally came, and you have to say they deserved it. Derry were woeful on the night. I know they've been in poor form lately, but I don't think anyone saw this coming at the Brandywell.
Look, crazy, crazy defending. Reece McCabe chipped the ball over the top. The defence goes up for offside.
Mm.
It's not offside. And they gave Corley all the time in the world to make it 1-0.
The two centre-backs stood back and watched him as he went around the goalkeeper. They didn't even attempt to chase it back. It was... you just really have to wonder what's going on with the back four there. And the second goal is just a long against Cork, which we'll speak about now in a few minutes on the bank holiday. It was just a long boot over the top. I think it might have actually been the last goal. And how many times this season we spoke about Derry just been caught out with a straight route one ball over the top?
Yeah, Keelan McAleer with the the cross for the second one there. And Jared Doherty saved a point blank. It could have been 3-0 this one. Mm. It was really poor from Derry.
Huge win for Sligo.
Oh, massive.
Yeah.
Massive. We've been talking about Sligo and their search for strikers all season, search for goals. They would have been delighted with that one.
Did Derry make them... well, they did. They made them look better than they were. But is this a turning point for Sligo? That's what I'm trying to ask you now. Can you see this being the result that just clicks them into action?
Well, I'm not so sure, Kieran, because I just thought it was a horrendous performance from Derry. And I really don't know what's gone wrong there. We were talking about potential, winners of the league.
Yeah.
Not long since.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I said it on last week's show, and this performance just backed it up for me. I think they're really missing some grit in that midfield. They're missing someone like a Shields at Dundalk, or like a McCormick that they used to have there, obviously, with Cork now. They're just missing someone that can just take the game by the scruff of the neck and get everyone around them organised, and that's something that's not there. But Kenny Shields spoke about bringing three players in now in the next couple of weeks. His son Dean Shields has been one of those players. He's 33 years of age, top level experience in Scotland, so he's an experienced player. But I think it's defensively there I'd be worried at Derry.
Yeah, it seems to be the same problems ongoing at the moment at Derry. So yeah, they need to sort that out.
In positive news on Derry today, Nicky Lowe signed a new contract, had been linked with a move to Larne.
Yeah, I seen that, all right, that he'd been linked with a move. So they'll be delighted to tie him down. A good player, Kieran.
Yeah, look, going forward, there's no problem for Derry. They have loads of attacking talent. And yeah. I imagine when Curtis goes, probably one or two of these three players coming in will be attacking options, but it's really at the back they need to worry about.
It is indeed. Cork had a pretty routine 3-0 over Waterford, Kieran. The Waterford's just slipped away now.
I wouldn't have called it routine. It was quite tight late into the game, but Cork then just hit what I like to call their explosive mode. I've seen them a couple of times this season. I even go back to the very first, the President's Cup game when I was up in Oriel. The second half, they just played so explosive. Just running the players, just quick power. It's great to watch in full flow. Everyone speaks about this Dundalk side, about how great it is to watch. But when Cork are at full throttle like this, they're a joy to watch, and they punished Waterford. And as you said, I think just a little bit of inconsistency, maybe a little bit of tiredness of the legs starting to affect Waterford.
Two men stood out for me, Sadlier and Shepherd.
Yeah, and Cummins as well. Those three players now have really started to pick it up in the last few weeks after a slow start to the season.
Yeah, so you're right about Waterford. McNulty safe from Akinadi after a lovely through ball from Bastion.
Should have scored there, Johnny. Should have gone around the goalkeeper.
It was a great ball, wasn't it, from Heary?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Sadly, I had a shot safe from distance. And McNamee hit the post as well from pinging shots in. But Buckley opened the scoring at the end of the first half to make it 1-0. Sadly, I had a chance with a free kick as well, saved by Vigoro. But a super cross from Shepherd to find Cummins to he headed on to make it 2-0. It was a great ball through, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic goal.
And sadly, I made it 3-0 quickly after. Could have been more. Shepherd hit the post at the end, and then sadly, a shot straight at Vigoro. A great result for Cork.
I actually thought it was a very good game, John. I have to say, it's a great advert for the league. Great packed out crowd there in Turner's Cross, both in the home end and the away end. And Turner's Cross is just such a lovely little ground when you see it on telly when it's full like that, and there's a great atmosphere. I think it's a really good advert for the league, and Cork are flying now. With the win over Derry on Monday, they're back on top of the league, and I wouldn't back against them despite all this talk of Dundalk being so dominant.
So we're agreed it's a two-horse race now.
Two-horse race.
Yeah, so and it's very, very difficult to split the two teams, isn't it, Cork and Dundalk?
Yeah, in terms of the bottom split of the sides, Bray have just thrown another spanner in the work, a 3-1 win over Pats.
Well, what a cracking result that was. 3-1 again. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Conan Bird shot wide early on.
How did he miss that job?
Oh, an awful mistake from the goalkeeper, wasn't it? And, Dan Kelly hit the side netting for Bray. That was early on. And Corey Galvin had a shot cleared off the line. It was there. It was coming, wasn't it?
Yeah, they deserved it. There was Pat's given them an awful lot of space, which was surprising given Pat's been in good form lately. But that man you mentioned there, Galvin, he's been one of Bray's most underrated players, I feel, this season. And wouldn't surprise me if there's a few clubs just keeping an eye on him now.
Well, it was Corey Galvin that opened the scoring after some pretty awful defending from Pat's. And Gibbons made it 2-0 after a lovely ball from Gary McCabe. He stood up well that match.
He had so much space, John. He had the freedom of the centre circle, and all honesty at times, and he was just walking through the midfield and picking passes for fun. And when he's on his best form like that, he's a joy to watch.
Thomas Byrne pulled one back to make it 2-1, but then the goalkeeper again, we talk about goalkeepers again, he spilled a shot from Galvin. Dan Kelly made it 3-1 to Bray, and there was still time for Thomas Byrne to get sent off at the end for gobbing at the ref. Was about the only gobbing off at the ref.
Thomas Byrne is a fantastic talent. I've heard Conan Byrne say that he's the best young talent he's seen ever in this league, but
Needs to watch his mouth.
He has a hot head. He has it, and that's something he's going to have to watch, and I know it's something they've spoken about. But look, we'll speak about the final result from the Premier Division, which was a 4-2 win for Cork, again at Turner's Cross against Derry on the bank holiday. And that was an exciting game of football, John.
It was, yeah. Cal Shepherd headed in 1-0 early on. But it was the second half where all the action was in this one, Kieran. And Shepherd had got a second after a nice through ball. Derry hit back with it when Ronan Curtis scored. And,
super strike.
And then Ronan Hale gave him great hope with an equaliser, 2-2. And at that stage, you know, you thought when Derry pulled it back, they could maybe go on the hold or maybe get 3 points. But lovely free kick hit home from Sadly, a 3-2. And then Cummins headed home the fourth and put Cork back to the top.
again, Cork just went in that extra gear, John, and Derry couldn't keep it with them, and that's why this Cork team have been so good in recent years.
Yeah, yeah, super result for them. Derry, we know, not great on the travels, no. But you still have to win those ones.
Yeah, but they probably will look to build off getting those two goals in the second half against Turner's Cross. It's a building block for them, but again, that fourth goal was just a long ball over the top, and Cummins buries it. So, look, that's where Derry need to learn their lessons. Stick with us, folks. We still have an interview with Neil Fenn on the way. And as we said, Tommy Barrett, the Limerick FC manager, will join us on the line. But we're going to look now at the previews for the First Division at the weekend. And I have to mention again, John, you're 4-0 up in the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game.
Cruising and also very thirsty, Kieran. So
I think you had enough in Donegal, I wonder.
Oh, geez. Well, look, it must put something special in the beer up there, Kieran. That's all I can say. But look, let's have a look at these matches. So there's one absolute standout one here in the First Division. We'll go to first. UCD against Drogheda. This is a big one.
Yeah, so UCD only 3 goals off Drogheda. Drogheda have been the goal kings in this First Division. 37 goals compared to UCD's 34. Again, defensively, you're looking at Drogheda. The only Shells have a better defence. 13 conceded by Drogheda, 12 by Shells. But again, UCD are only 3 goals off that. So they're very, very tight, these sides. The real interesting factor in this game, UCD have a proven goal scorer, Georgie Kelly, joint top scorer in the league. But you look at Drogheda, the goals are all across the team. Sean Brennan was 7, Mark Doyle was 7, Chris Lyons was 6, McCaffrey with 4. Even Kieran Kelly, their fullback, is chipping in with 3. The big thing here is the home form. UCD, 6 wins out of 7. They're unbeaten at home. Drogheda's away record isn't bad. They have 4 away wins out of 7. Their losses, though, came against Harps and Cabotili, which is a slight concern there. 2 rookie managers facing off. UCD, as we said, this time of year can be a little bit inconsistent with their exam times, but they have a great record against Drogheda. 44.4% of the last 54 meetings with Drogheda have gone UCD's way, and for that reason, I'd have to go for a UCD win.
Well, we're going to differ with this one because I'm going for Drogheda. I want to see it tightened up a bit and a bit more exciting at the top. And yeah, I just fancy Drogheda in this one, Kieran. Let's see if they teach UCD a lesson at exam time.
I'm sure that one's been used before.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, not too original this week, I'm afraid. Galway host Finn Harps. Now, this is a crunch match, isn't it?
Crunch match for both managers. It's a huge game. 2 managers under pressure. We've spoken about what we feel is unfit players on the Galway side. So is Shane Keegan going to look at that, maybe make a couple of changes to his lineup? Furlong, we've spoken about that. It's a major worry, his fitness issues. Galway, goalkeeping issues as well there. In the last 2 games, they've had to make changes. Tyke Furlong was injured against Longford, but you may have seen the hilarious mistake he made against Cabotili. That went viral around the world. But then his stepping goalkeeper, Conor Gleeson, against Longford, handled the ball outside the box.
Yeah.
So basic goalkeeping errors there. That's really worrying. Is it a lack of concentration? Keegan, as we said, he texted the show earlier on. He didn't feel this was the time to come on. He said all he was focused on was getting the players ready. So you really get a sense that this is now or never for Shane Keegan at Galway this season. It's a tough one to call, but I think with the home form, I've got to go for a Galway win.
Yeah, I'm going with a Galway win on that one as well. Just purely down to the home situation there for Galway. Athlone host Shells. Now, I can't see anything other than a away win, Kieran.
No, as we said, it just when it looked like Athlone were getting back to something of a tight ship. They go on ship 8 in their last 2. Athlone have shipped 55 goals this season. Shelburne have shipped 12 and 15. David O'Sullivan has scored a hat-trick or more. He actually got 4 the last time he played against them in his last 4 meetings with Athlone. This could be a cricket score. This probably will be a cricket score. It's a Shells win.
Yep, I totally agree. Cove host Wexford. Now, it was interesting talking to Henderson earlier and the amount of importance he puts on this match as well as many others, but he was saying this: if he's going to be up there in the playoffs, this is the kind of match he wants to win. I've got him down to win.
Yeah, 2 teams in contrast and form here. Since Stephen Henderson made that U-turn, Cove are unbeaten in 4 of the last 6 in all competitions. That includes obviously that EA Sports Cup win over Longford, and they've been rewarded with a home semi-final tie against Dundalk in that one. It's the first meeting in Cove this season. Wexford, 4 losses in their last 5. But they are unbeaten in Wexford against Cove, so it's going to be interesting to see whether the St. Comans factor comes into it. They beat Wexford 3 times last season. I think Wexford are a very poor outfit this year. I can only see it go one way. That's a Cove win.
And finally, in the First Division, Cabotili host Longford. Longford in good form, 2 good wins at the weekend. They'll be hoping to make it 3 out of 3 at Cabo.
Yeah, like if Longford don't pick up the maximum points in this one, all the good work of the last couple of days goes to waste, really. But this is a really, really hard game to call. Lucas has three goals in his last two games. He's a goal scorer threat. And obviously, as we've said, Marty Waters with a goal there in his last game. Can he get back to his best? It's now or never for Cabo, really. They're 8 points off the playoff places. They have to make a bit of a charge before the break. They're the only side in both divisions without a draw this season. So for me, that points a little bit to their defensive issues. They're not able just to kind of grind out those games when they need them. Their home form is good, though. 4 wins in 7. But they've only ever beaten Loughford Town once, and that came away. So Loughford's record is quite good against Capitale. They're picking up form. They're scoring goals. I've got to go with a Loughford win.
I agree. But one man who's going to preview it very well for us will be Loughford Town manager Neil Fenn.
Yeah, it's our good friend Neil Fenn, and we're going to hear from him now. So we're joined on the line now by Loughford Town manager Neil Fenn. It's been a great couple of days for the town. Two big wins against teams who, at the start of the weekend, were above them in the division in Galway United and Finn Harps. Neil, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Kieran.
So Neil, as I said, there are two huge wins, one at home against Galway, one away against Finn Harps yesterday on the bank holiday. Loughford Town now in the playoff promotion spots. How confident are you that you can keep this run of form going?
Yeah, we're confident. You know, it was just two good results for us. Beating teams above us and in and around us in the league is something we hadn't done this season. So it was important we did that. We got that monkey off our back, and hopefully we can kick on now.
Your team has certainly no issue in scoring goals this season. And it's great to see the likes of Sam Verdon and Dylan McGlade chipping in from midfield. Have you put a large emphasis on the midfield players chipping in and helping out the likes of Mulhall and Dean Byrne up front this season?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's been well courted that we haven't got an out-and-out number nine goal scorer. So it's important that without that other lads are chipping in with goals, like you say, midfielders. Even A. Dervin popping up recently with two goals. So it's brilliant when the goals come from everywhere, and hopefully it continues.
You mentioned the young man there, A. Dervin, himself and Tristan, the only two local players in the team, but they're certainly putting in the shift of 11 local lads out there at the moment. Absolutely fantastic to see. How surprised have you been with A particularly in his performances this season?
Well, obviously he came into the team last year and did really well. He had a little bit of a disrupted pre-season, so he had to wait his chance to get in the first team. And once he got in there, he's been unbelievable. His energy, his quality on the ball, and now he's added to that his finishing, so he's doing really well. And Tristan's, you know, learning all the time, and he's doing really well as left back. Probably not his natural position, he's probably more of a centre back, but he's learning the position more as we go along, so both of them are doing very well, very happy.
And particularly when you look at A as well, he's a very small midfielder, but some of the hits he's taken this season against some of the more physical teams in the division, he's got straight up and got on with it. In terms of his physicality, just how fit is he as a young player?
I mean, we did a testing at start of the season, and he was off the charts for the running. Needs to work on strengthening up a little bit, as you say. He's very slight. Sometimes the hits look worse on him because he is so small, so slight. But as you say, he can bounce back from challenges. He can ride challenges as well. And you know, nothing fazes him. He took a bit of a whack on the ankle a few weeks ago that put him out. But he's been back, and since he's been back, it's been unbelievable.
So as I said, there, Longford now into the playoff promotion positions, and there's two huge games coming up now. But I think we're saying every week that every game is huge in this first division. It's just that competitive and tight at the moment. You've Capitale away on Friday on what could be a difficult pitch for your side, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you might counteract that if that is to be the case. And then it's a huge home game against a promotion rival in Drogheda.
Yeah, I mean, we I've said it before that everyone can beat everybody else, and there's no surprises that when teams do beat other teams, you know, anyone can beat anyone. So Capitale, the pitch, I don't know, last time I went to Capitale the pitch was nice in the summer, so I've heard it's not too bad.
Always from a supporter's point of view, there's going to be speculation on players that may come into the club. Have you started looking in that regard yet at all, or is it just focusing on these next two games before the break?
No, we obviously, you know, we have to do our due diligence, so we've had a look around and seen what's available and making sure we've got our targets and who's not getting in or who looks like they're going to maybe possibly get released. So yeah, we've been checking out a few strengthening areas where we think we need to strengthen.
And finally, Neil, obviously there's been a huge increase in home gates this season at Longford. I've seen in club reports there's been a 40% increase. There seems to be a lot better atmosphere around the ground than there has been in previous years. Has that been a big boost to the players?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I've said before that the crowd, you know, when they're especially in the Galway game, really behind us when, you know, a couple of decisions went against us. So you know that when the crowd are behind you and a couple of decisions go against you like that, they're there and
when we're scoring goals, it spurs the players on. So yeah, it's brilliant to have the crowds. I didn't know the crowds were up by that much, so that's fantastic news.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Great interview with Neil Fenn there. Don't let anybody tell you that Between the Stripes doesn't cover the First Division, because we do, unlike other people.
Yeah, very very important to get equal coverage for both leagues, and that's been our foundation since day one here. As I said in our Facebook Live, we're actually closing in on our 1 year anniversary here at Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's been a meteoric rise, and I think a lot of that has to do with our coverage of the First Division. It's been a fantastic league this season. So folks, if you're listening, get out and watch a First Division game, because it's a really exciting league. But let's move on to the Premier Division.
And we'll start off with Waterford hosting St Pat's.
Huge game in terms of Europe, John. Pat's with that surprise defeat against Bray. Waterford blown away by Cork, but no shame in that. Vigrow is gone, though. Is that going to cause issues, in your opinion?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think he's been the best keeper in the league.
Yeah, definitely, without doubt. But in terms of their attacking options, they've no goal in their last four. And those goals came in the 6-3 defeat against Limerick, so they're not in the best of form. Usually Alan Reynolds will be around the dressing room, and that bubbly character will be there to lift the players. They don't have that at the moment. That's worrying. Their home form, though, has been just phenomenal this season. 25 points out of a possible 30. Only the top two have better. It's a huge game, as we said, in terms of the European race. But with that home form, as much as I like this Pats team and the good parts about them, we've seen probably the bad parts about them against Bray, but I do like what Pats are doing this season. I have to go for the home win.
Yeah, Thomas Byrne will be suspended for this one, I think. So, yeah.
Well, this is where Christy Fagan needs to step up. He hasn't been, the last two seasons, he hasn't been the player he was in recent years for Pats.
No. And for those reasons, I'm going to go with a Waterford win, Kieran. Bose host Derry in our second preview, so Derry, real Jekyll and Hyde at the moment, but
one
struggling
five,
away from home.
Feet,
yeah,
so it's poor.
But they were going so well as well, and then it all seems to have gone to pot there. Bo's real mixed bag at the moment as well. What do you think, Kieran?
Yeah, it's a big game for both teams in different respects. Bo's need a win to just pull away from that relegation situation. Derry need to stop this rot. But the stats don't look good for Derry, John.
Nobody's scoring the goals for Bo's, are they?
No, but look at Derry's defence. 36 goals conceded this season. Defensively, shambolic. Only Bray and Limerick have worse defences this season. So that's a big worry. And 7 defeats out of 11 on the road. Again, only Bray are worse in that regard. So I've got to go for a Bo's win. I know they've only picked up 2 out of the 10 at home. But Dylan Watts is playing well. The issue, as you mentioned, Dinny Cork is their top scorer with 3 goals. That has to improve. I'm sure they'll look to rectify that in the summer. But they're scoring late goals in recent weeks. I think there's probably more optimism going into this game from a Bo's perspective than there is from a Derry perspective. For me, it's got to be a home win.
Yeah, if ever a team needed a goal scorer, it's Bo's, isn't it? So, but I think they'll have enough against a misfiring Derry currently. Sligo host Cork. Cork going really well at the moment. Sligo with that surprise victory at Derry.
Yeah, well, we were asking whether that result is the one that's going to click them into action. We'll find out now. They finally got the much-needed goals against a very poor Derry side, it has to be said. But just like Boas, their home form has been woeful. 2 wins and 11 at home. Only Limerick of Boris, they've only picked up 1 all season.
They couldn't have wished for a tougher match to try and make it 2 on a spin as well,
yeah,
could they?
In terms of Cork's away form, 6 wins and 2 draws from 11, so it's not bad at all. Cummins and sadly are at red-hot form. They're showing their explosive best in recent weeks. I think there's a freshness about this Cork side now. For me, it's got to be a Cork win and probably a comprehensive one.
Yeah, I agree on that one. Shamrock Rovers host Bray in this one. Real under pressure there, Shamrock Rovers, as we seem to be saying every week. Bray with a nice victory against St Pat's to give them. Have they got any hope in this one?
Rovers 4 wins in 16 all competitions. Bray 3 wins in 16. That tells you how bad things are for Rovers at the minute. Of course, Bray picked up that famous 1-0 win in April when Ronan Coughlin got the winner, and everyone thought that was probably going to be the end of Stephen Bradley, but here we are, he's still there. Shock win for Pats combined with Limerick woes, it gives hope to Bray now in the next few weeks. Corey Galvin's been superb this season, he's really gone under the radar.
He's catching the eye, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's one to watch. And obviously Gary McKay was superb against Pats, so he'll be able to do damage against his former club. And Moran, the goalkeeper, made an awful mistake to start off that game, and luckily it wasn't punished by Conan Byrne. Yeah. But I think for a young goalkeeper who was in a team that you have to remember was shipping goals left, right and centre at the start of the season, I think he's done very well, and he'd certainly outperform what Rovers have in Chichinski. Look, Rovers were fantastic for 20 minutes against Dundalk.
They'll have Graham Burke back as well.
Burke's back, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. So that's huge. And they did beat Bray 6-0 at Tala area this season. They're only 3 points off fourth despite this abysmal season they're having. So does that say a little bit about the standard of the league? Maybe we could talk about that again. For me, the issues are up front. Gary Shaw, when he's had to step in for Carr, he simply hasn't been good enough. I'm not sure if he's up to the quality of Shamrock Rovers. Boyle, again, we spoke about it earlier, a mad decision to replace Madden with Boyle. 6 wins at home out of 11, it's a good home record. You'd like to think Rovers have enough to see off Bray, and probably quite comfortably with Graham Burke back at the side.
Boyle for Madden, I just can't get my head around that, Kieran, and I'm not so sure how on earth Stephen Bradley's ever going to justify that one. Just a real strange one, and you know, this faith in Chinchinski at the moment as well.
Well, they don't really have an option with Horgan now injured, so.
I know, but surely, we've talked about, there must be another option.
And there's a young goalkeeper they speak highly of, but I think he's only 16, so it would be very young to go throwing in a keeper for a Premier Division game like that. But
it would.
Chinchinski's not cutting it either, so it's all about decisions for Stephen Bradley, and any decision he's made this season, very few of them have paid off.
Having said all that, I'm going with the Shamrock Rovers win.
Optimism.
Yeah.
So we'll move along now, folks. It's our final preview, and then we'll bring you our much-needed interview with the Limerick manager, Tommy Barrett. Dundalk, they hammered Limerick at Oriel earlier in the season. They faced them again at the same venue. What's your thoughts on this one, John?
Well, can't see much other than a home win, to be honest. Dundalk playing really well at the moment. In Duffy, I think they've got the star player in the league currently.
Yeah.
The players that seem to be hitting form that we haven't talked about earlier in the season, Sean Hoare. It seems to me he's doing well, and that he's playing right back.
Playing
a lot.
Right back.
Yeah, he seems to be doing well.
That's going to be an interesting one now over when the league resumes. Sean Gannon came back in the Leinster Senior Cup last night, a 3-1 win for Dundalk C team over Bohemians.
He's going to struggle to get his place back.
He is, definitely, yeah. And Hoare signed a new contract at the club yesterday, as did McGrath and the assistant Vinnie Perth. So there's optimism there for Dundalk. Look, they've been knocked off top spot. They're going to be sore about that. They're going to be out to prove a point against Limerick. They were at their lethal best in the second half against Shamrock Rovers. Hoban is on fire. Hoare, McGrath, Duffy, same for them. They've been the star men. There's also a threat from the back. That's what I really like about this Dundalk team. Cleary, Gartland, they can score any time from a set piece.
Very good from set pieces. Corners, we've seen it many a time, but they do have that threat. So
look, if there's anyone thinking of backing Limerick, let this next stat be the one that puts you off it. Since the start of 2017, the aggregate score in this fixture is 18-0 to Dundalk.
Okay, well, that has just summed it up to me. Dundalk win. Be interested to see if Tommy Barrett has any hope in this one.
Yeah, look, we're going to be joined on the line now with the Limerick FC manager. Very difficult times down there, so maybe Tommy can shed some light on that for us. Enjoy this interview, folks. So, folks, we're about to be joined on the line now by Limerick FC manager Tommy Barrett. Before we start this interview, we should say that Between the Stripes LOI podcast invited Tommy onto the show a couple of weeks before the financial situation and the news broke there of an issue at wages at Limerick. So out of respect to Tommy, he's been good enough and kind enough to still come on the show despite the news in recent days. We're not going to ask him on that situation. Tommy, you're very welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Cheers, thank you.
So Tommy, as we said, it is a difficult situation down there at the moment. So what we want to focus on at the moment is the on-the-field situation. Your team had a respectable 1-1 draw against Bohemians recently. What did you make of the performance, though?
Yeah, I thought the first half we were much the better team. We probably, you know, we've been playing well the last few weeks. I thought we should have been probably 2 or 3 up and the game should have been killed off. But, you know, look, boys came out the second half. They played on the front foot. We probably dropped off a small bit. They had more of the ball, possibly, even though I thought we were playing the better football. They went direct and they're good players, you know, good energetic players, and they can, you know, they're playing in around the final third was excellent. Brendan pulled off a few saves, but even at that, in the second half, I felt on the counter attack we had the better chances, you know. And Shane Supple pulled off a couple of really good saves, and there was a few last ditch tackles, and you know, I felt we should have won the game, you know, we should have been out of sight. But in saying that, look, we could have lost in the end as well, because you know, the last minute to get a chance to score and they miss it, so you know, we'll have to take the draw. But look, we played very well, and we have been playing very well. Mm. Just the results aren't coming, you know. So we need to start turning those good performances into results now.
Of course, that was the second time this season that you've let the lead slip late against Bohemians. That must be extremely frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know. And it comes down to us not killing off teams. You know, we got to, you know, particularly that first half, I felt that was definitely the best we played at home this year. We were really good. We played really good football. Boys pressed us high, and we were still brave enough to play out. You know, the pitch was good, so it was really good. It was a really good game, actually. It was very entertaining. So there was lots of chances created. But we just have to be more clinical.
And usually a point against Bohemians would be considered quite a good result, but unfortunately Sligo, of course, went and picked up a surprise win against Derry, and then the team below you, Bray Wanderers, also got a shock win against Pat. So it's just squeezed that gap down. 7 points now, Bray find themselves behind Limerick. So as you mentioned, these upcoming games now in the next few weeks for Limerick before the break, huge really.
Yeah, of course, yeah. You know, look, obviously Dundalk is a really difficult one, but we've two home games. We've Shamrock Rovers before the break, and we have Bray just after at home as well. So, you know, we'll be looking to, our home record has to improve. You know, we've been playing quite well since the pitch has improved. We've got footballers in our team, so we can play, but we just need to start picking up results, lads, you know.
And of course we have to speak about the previous meeting with Dundalk. It was a humiliating night for your side, in all honesty. Obviously Dundalk, one of the best teams in the country over recent years, so there's no shame in losing it at Oriel Park, but I'd imagine you were very disappointed with the manner your team went down. So is there a slight ghost there still as you go to Oriel again this weekend?
Yeah, well, we won't know until we go there again, you know. We're a much improved team since then, but I'm sure they are too. You know, we played them in Macclesfield, we lost 3-0. Once they go ahead, they punished us, you know. But I think we're a bit healthier player-wise in where we were at in those two games. You know, we've a few lads back from injuries. Obviously the injury list is still not as good as I'd like it to be, but we're in a lot better position than we were going to Oriel the last day, and hopefully it'll be difficult but hopefully we can put in a performance and come out there with some credit, you know, and you know, can we get a result? You know, hopefully we can, you know. That's all we can do.
Yeah, I think it's something myself and John have spoken about here on the show, that your side deserve great credit for tightening up so much since that game at Oriel, and the back four has certainly been much improved, and Brendan Clark in goals has been phenomenal in recent games. But is it the lack of goals at the other end that's the major worry at the moment?
I think it is. I think that look obviously, you know, teams are going to create chances. The way we play, we play quite open still, you know, so because we're going for it, and we have got good players, so we tried to. What I'd say about the last few weeks is at least we're creating chances, you know. In Sligo, I felt we created the most chances, we should have won. Cork, we created a couple, but not as many against Cork, because they shut us down a bit better, you know, in fairness to them. But against Bowers, as I said, we should have been out of sight, and it's definitely, yeah, we just need to be a bit more clinical in that final third, but at least we're creating them. On the back four, defensively, I think the whole team are defending a bit better. We haven't had a settled back four all year. Mm. You know, we're chopping and changing every week. Obviously, Brendan is important to us, yeah. He was really good again last week. But, I don't know what I can say on it. You're right. We need to start taking our chances.
From a managerial point of view, is that the hardest position, though, to find a player in? I know from speaking to managers across the league on the show this season, the lack of real proven number nines in the league and across football in general in all leagues seems to be just a major void at the moment.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's the hardest part of the game, isn't it, to score goals? You know, Danny Morrissey was just in form. He had 3-5 goals gone, yeah, in 6 or 7 games, and he was just hitting form after coming back from injury, and he pulled his hamstring again, and down to the heavy schedule. Marcus Sullivan's been unlucky this year, and the fact that he's been out with a broken hand, and he's a couple of other niggly injuries as well, and he's a handful, you know. He's not a clinical finisher, but he occupies the defenders, and he brings other lads into the game, and he's very unselfish, and he's doing a real good job for us at the moment, leading the line, and he's a really good lad, you know. But goals have to come from other players as well, you know. The midfielders have to do more and score more goals. Like Brian Maguire's hitting a bit of form. He's got 2 in his last 2 starts, you know. So we're happy with him. But you know, the other lads have to contribute as well. You know, we create lots of set pieces, and you know, centre backs have got to score goals too, you know, and the bigger lads as well from set pieces. So it's not just down to the strikers either.
You're our only Premier Division division manager on our manager special tonight, Tommy. So you've brought up the issue of the scheduling in terms of fixtures there. How big of a challenge has that been for the top flight clubs this season?
It's massive. It's a huge problem because for us, like even with Bowes last week, I thought Bowes were a bit fresher in the second half, and everyone is looking, oh, they're part-time, how could they be fresher? You know, I got a few of those questions. But, like, they were fresher because they had a match less, you know, and like we've played Waterford, then Cork, then away to Sligo, and then Bowes, you know, whereas they didn't have a midweek game in between. They played 3 weeks in a row, but we had a midweek game, you know, and that takes it out of the boys' legs, especially with a tight squad. And the scheduling is crazy. The amount of injuries we've got, you know, and the muscle injuries and muscle related are huge, you know. It has been a huge problem for us, and it's proven that, like, we went to Sligo missing 9 players, 7 injured, you know. So, like, I don't know what squad can cope with that. Cork and Dundalk would struggle to cope with that, let alone us, you know.
And of course, it's going to leave a huge issue for all the clubs in terms of the second half of the season, with very few games left to play. So managers trying to bring players in, they're not going to get a lot of time to bed those players into their squads. Obviously, then there's less home games. I've seen the stat today that Sligo have maybe only 2 or 3 home games between the break and the end of the season. So in terms of financials there as well for clubs, it's going to hit them hard. So was it a short-sighted decision to front-load the fixtures like this?
Look, I don't know. I don't know why the reason was. I think it was to help out European teams, but I'm not sure. I don't understand the person myself, but I'm sure there is reasons for it.
Perhaps done with the best of intentions, but just hasn't worked out in the reality.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. You know, no one intends to, you know, to make things difficult for anyone. You know, we have to deal with it. The thing about it is, we have to deal with it like everyone else. The only one that annoyed me was Sligo and Bowes didn't play the same week as us. You know, we'd go to Sligo when they had a match, and they had a rest week. You know, I felt that if they're going to play all they're going to play 4 fixtures, they might as well put Sligo and Bowes down. You know, that's an advantage for them, in my opinion. We went to Sligo last week and we looked a bit leggy the first 20 minutes because we're after playing Cork on the Monday night. You know, and other than that, we can't complain because everyone has a heavy schedule. You know, that was my only gripe with it. You know, so it's equal for everyone at least. So I was a bit annoyed with that one. I was forced to say that. And I just felt that in interest of fairness, they should have played as well.
Finally,
so they're not playing till after the break now, you know.
Finally, Tommy, there was a great crowd out at the Bohemians game. 1,100, a very good crowd at Markets Field. I'd imagine with everything going on at the moment, you'd really be urging the people of Limerick to rally around the club now in these next few weeks.
Yeah, look, and the supporters have been very good. You know, we've got good support and we've got a good base. But we have to give the supporters something to cheer about too. You know, and I think in our last few performances, we've done that in that we're playing really good football. Where, you know, obviously we'd prefer to get wins at home, but the performances have been good lately, home and away. So, yeah, I'd urge them to get out and support us, and you know, hopefully we can get out of where we're at, what the dilemma we're in, you know.
Well, Tommy, I have to say we really appreciate you joining us on the show. Great respect considering everything that's got going on there at the moment. We really hope things get sorted down at Limerick, club with huge potential. I know everyone agrees on that. So, thanks for joining us, and very best of wishes.
Thanks, lads. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Tommy.
Thank you.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
So I have to say a huge thank you to Tommy Barrett for joining us on the show. Great respect for him for doing so, considering the difficulties there. John, maybe we might just speak a little bit about that, because we haven't really touched on it on the show so far, just before we go.
Well, it's worrying times, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But do we ever get a season in League of Ireland where we don't have at least one club that's teetering on going bankrupt, or wage issues, or some other disaster.
I think there's been whispers for a while about the situation at Limerick and in terms of Pat O'Sullivan looking to take a step back from the club, but in terms of how quickly it's turned there, I think everyone's very surprised. And if any club was going to put their hand up and say we're in big trouble, I think everyone was expecting, shall we say, a Wicklow club to be the one to do so.
Yeah, I was surprised because they only signed Conor Clifford a couple of weeks ago as well.
And Maguire as well.
So again,
it throws the whole licensing into question. We had Alan Matthews on this show last week and he made a mockery of the licensing, really, from his experiences in the league. And, you know, a couple of months into the season, a couple of weeks after signing two high-profile players, Limerick are in trouble, and it just puts the whole thing into question again.
I just hope it's not as bad as we think it's going to be, because it just looks so bad on the league. And, you know, and people running these clubs, that they can go out, sign a couple of players. Now, these might be players that have got to organise rent for new houses and move and maybe move family and things like that. And then this kind of thing happens.
I know there was meetings there on Monday and Tuesday. And we haven't heard anything there. We know the discussion was going to be about mandatory reduction in wage, and if you weren't happy with that, there was mutual termination on the table. We haven't heard anything about players leaving the club yet, so perhaps those meetings have gone better than we expected. Maybe players have accepted those wage cuts and Tommy Barrett will have a full strength team towards the end of the season. If not, it's going to be looking like an under-19s team playing their way through to the end of the year. If that is to be the case, with a couple of experienced players here and there dotted around the side, I know there is two part-time players at the club, so they'll probably be okay in Tracy and Kelly. Do you think Limerick would have enough to stay up above Bray?
I don't think so. You'd fear the worst for them, Kieran, I have to say. And I know Bray have their troubles, and if that is the case, you could definitely see two going down this season. You can see Bray and Limerick going down in the playoffs.
My major worry now is this could have a knock-on effect. If Limerick, the whole thing falls apart, let's say worst-case scenario, weren't able to see out till the end of the season, you're obviously talking teams losing points then. You're going to see gate reductions then because there's less games. Are we going to see another club then maybe in the Premier Division say, oh, we're in trouble too? And then there's this whole 10-team concept just totally unravel. Obviously, that is doomsday scenario. But for me at the moment, there's a couple of clubs in both divisions I'm really concerned for at the moment. And I just don't like where this is going.
No, well, look, let's hope that your scenario of doomsday doesn't come true. But yeah, we're inside. And like I said, you can easily see, you know, whereas before it might have been one down and then one staying up through the playoffs, you could easily see two going down.
Yeah. Just finally on that, obviously there's been so many positive recently for the league. Obviously Cork Dundalk over recent years, Graham Burks, Shane Supple. It's been a great little spell for League of Ireland football. And as I've said on the show so many times, I feel the two set of 10-team divisions has really revitalised it this season. Yeah. Premier Division's getting great coverage. First Division sadly isn't, but we're trying our best to help that along. But I do think it's been a great season to watch from the neutrals perspective, and we've certainly enjoyed bringing the coverage to you. But folks, that has been another excellent edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Before we go, I would like to make you aware again of our Between the Stripes LOI podcast World Cup sweepstakes. We're going to be giving 50% of all profits raised there to Pieta House, so please do support that. If you wish to enter, it's a €10 entry fee. And you can pay that by going to paypal.me/between the stripes/10. As soon as we get notified that we've received the payment from you, you'll be entered into the draw, which will be done live on Facebook Live. So you can keep an eye on that on our Facebook page. Huge thanks to all our sponsors, Flowmax.ie, obviously our main sponsors here at Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And they currently have a massive clearance sale going on Flowmax.ie. So please do check that out, as well as a World Cup offer they have going on there too. Diageo.ie, our website creators and sponsors, thank you very much to them. Check out their great work at Finn Harps. St. Mel's Brewery, sponsors of the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Pick up a couple of bottles of that if it's in your local off-license, because trust me, it's fine stuff. And hopefully I can claw back this 4-0 and get a big creative at the end of the season, but I'm not so sure on that at the moment. Folks, that's been it. Subscribe on iTunes, give us a review, and hopefully we can improve on last week's fantastic performance in the iTunes charts. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.